happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's Memorial Day, the day we remember and honor those who died in service to the nation. David Krall with Whitechapel Memorial Park Cemetery in Troy, Michigan, says he hopes a lot of people visit today.
I don't think it's ever enough, but we try to do our part. If everybody can do a little bit to remember, to take a minute, come out to our cemetery and pay tribute to those who died, then we've accomplished something for Memorial Day.
President Trump says he's frustrated with Russian leader Vladimir Putin.
I'm not happy with what Putin's doing. He's killing a lot of people, and I don't know what the hell happened to Putin. I've known him a long time, always gotten along with him, but he's sending rockets into cities and killing people, and I don't like it at all.
Trump is delaying some stiff tariffs that rattled the markets when he announced them Friday. The BBC's Fiona McDonald has details.
President Trump says he's granted the European Union another month to conclude a trade deal and avert the imposition of new sanctions. He threatened on Friday to impose taxes of 50% on European imports, but following a telephone call with the European Commission President, Ursula von der Leyen, Mr. Trump said he had agreed to extend the deadline for negotiations until July the 9th. Ms. von der Leyen said she was ready to advance talks swiftly.
Republicans are pushing back on Democratic accusations that their big budget bill cuts Medicaid benefits. Details from CBS's Willie James Inman.
1.4 million undocumented migrants could lose access to Medicaid, along with some Americans once work requirements for the program kick in. Johnson defended the bill.
We have not cut Medicaid and we have not cut SNAP. What we're doing is working on fraud, waste, and abuse.
The bill passed the House by one vote. Senate Republicans have said they plan to make changes to it. Hundreds of flights out of trouble-plagued Newark Liberty Airport were delayed this weekend. The FAA says on average, on Sunday, flights took off 35 minutes after they were scheduled to do so. CBS's Chanel Call is there.
Since Thursday, more than 1,400 flights have been delayed and nearly 50 flights were canceled.
I was supposed to leave at 1:13. I didn't get off the runway till about 6 p.m.
Those delays largely due to a shortage of air traffic controllers. Some went on trauma leave about a month ago following system outages and communication failures. One of three runways is also under construction.
Lilo and Stitch had a monster Memorial Day weekend. The movie sold almost $147 million in tickets in North American theaters, according to studio estimates, making it the second biggest domestic opening of the year. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
The Pirates are playing as good a baseball as they've played all year. The one kid is a monster right now. I mean, really, literally, like take over the game type guy. Who does that? That's ridiculous.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, clear skies and low 40s. Mostly sunny with a high near 70 on your Memorial Day Monday. Monday night, mostly cloudy, 46. Slight chance of rain on Tuesday. We'll see a high near 66. And then rain is likely Tuesday night and Wednesday.
It's 51 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday, we'll rebroadcast some recent clips as we take time off to honor Memorial Day and those whose sacrifices gave us the freedom we continue to defend.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
on.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill? Donating me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
And not everything I'm going to talk about today is illegal. But everything that I'm going to talk about today is bad for regular Americans.
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
I'm a geek. I'm a nerd. I'm a data wonk.
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome, everybody. Hope you all are doing very well. It is Friday. We made it, ladies and gentlemen. I am Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you've been hanging out listening to all of my fine colleagues, starting with Pat Kreitlow, of course, in the mornings, and then we got the fine Todd Alba Show following up Pat. We got Jane and Greg, actually, that's who follows Pat Kreitlow in the morning, then Todd. You know that on Fridays, it is Free Ticket Friday across the Civic Media Radio Network, where we give you a chance to win a four-pack of Brewers tickets in the fine Civic Media Club seats. So it is that time. If you have been waiting patiently with bated breath through the first hour of the show, I will, in this segment, before we are done, drop the word of the day that you can text in to be entered to win. You will get a bounce back text that will confirm that your word of the day has been entered to win, and we will let winners know on Monday if they are the lucky winners of Free Ticket Friday. Now, here's the catch. You cannot text in normally, like, oh, just type in Civic Media 855-752. No, don't do that. Need to go get the Civic Media app from any app store that you like, your favorite app store, perhaps even. And that is how you will text us to win. If you enter with your keyword any other way, it does not count. So you do need to use the app. I will drop the word of the day on you all before this segment is out. This will get you, again, four tickets to this week's upcoming next week's Brewers game on Tuesday, May 27th. They're playing the Boston Red Sox at 6:40 p.m. at beautiful AmFam Field. Again, that game is this coming Tuesday, May 27th versus Boston at 6:40. What a better, could there be a possibly a better way to start out a short work week after the long Memorial Day weekend than to have yourself some fun at a Brewers game? I think not. So keep it locked here. I'll drop that word for Free Ticket Friday before the end of this segment. Two weeks ago exactly, I ended up, we had a show plan, and the show plan went kabooly because domestic policy advisor and deputy chief of staff Stephen Miller went out onto the White House lawn and told a bunch of reporters that, oh yeah, you know, the president can just suspend habeas corpus. We're considering doing that. And we spent that show talking about habeas corpus and why, frankly, that's insane. Since then, we've watched Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem fail to be able to correctly define habeas corpus in what can be only described as an epic fail. I mean, I don't know about you, but I think cabinet level secretary should have some command of the Constitution, including, you know, especially perhaps if you're the head of DHS, what the heck habeas corpus is. Anywho, I digress. Also, what happened on that day that made that Friday extraordinarily disturbing was the arrest of, not that day, but subsequently. On that day, there were protests outside an ICE facility in Newark, New Jersey. Now, a couple things happened. First of all, the Newark mayor was arrested. Now, his charges were dropped this week. And the judge overseeing that case was extremely displeased. His name is Andre Espinoza. I'm going to tell you more about that in just a moment. And so, again, on that day, so 2 weeks ago, Friday, the mayor of Newark at this protest was arrested. There was also a kerfuffle that day between Congresswoman LaMonica McIver, Democratic rep, represents New Jersey. She was at the protest as well, and some federal agents. Well, what has happened subsequently in like a very weird echo of the Judge Hannah Dugan arrest is that while the charges against the Newark mayor have been dismissed, Alina Haba's Department of U.S. Attorney's Office for New Jersey is pressing charges against Congresswoman McIver. So those charges were filed. She was arraigned and released on her own recognizance this past Wednesday. Now, in interviews with media outlets, the Congresswoman has said that U.S. Attorney Haba, who just, if you forgot who this was, Alina Haba was one of Donald Trump's criminal defense lawyers. She's the one that didn't know that you need to stand up when a judge enters a courtroom. The judge had to tell her that. So, you know, real top-notch appointment by Donald Trump to the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of New Jersey. What the Congresswoman explained after she was released on her own recognizance after her preliminary hearing this Wednesday was that Alina Haba basically tried to get her to plea or some sort of an agreement and put a series of put some papers in front of her and said, sign this. And they were a series of admissions. And by the Congresswoman's account, they were admissions to things that the Congresswoman simply did not do. And she refused to sign that. The charges have proceeded. Her hearing on Wednesday took about 15 minutes. She denied the charges, said she was carrying out her duty, exercising her First Amendment rights as a member of Congress, and also specifically overseeing Congress as an oversight body at its base. So a Congresswoman attending a protest and observing what is happening is perfectly legitimate. And just to add some color to this, I have some direct experience with these kinds of situations. Back in 2020, when I was the chief legal officer for Milwaukee County, there were extensive Black Lives Matter protests all across the county. And there were questions that arose during those protests when elected officials were present. Eventually, there were some curfews that were established. Oftentimes, law enforcement would give protesters directions about where they could or could not go. And the questions that arose were, when we have elected officials that are there in their capacity as elected officials, not as part of the protest, but in their capacity as elected officials, how should the police or law enforcement interact with them? And our guidance could not be super specific because some of it depends on what exactly happens. But in general, my office's legal guidance to the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Department is if an elected official identifies themselves as an elected official, and we encouraged elected officials to wear name badges or other identification out on their clothing, very visible so that law enforcement could see them. And if you were wearing that sort of name badge or officially designating yourself as an elected official, that they were there to observe. They were executing their official duties as a member of the legislature, which is an oversight body. The legislature oversees how the executive branch, including law enforcement agencies, execute their job duties. And so even if law enforcement were giving directions to the protesters, if you had an elected official there, law enforcement had to take some caution because the elected official has the right to observe and observe fairly directly. So again, you're seeing, not unlike in the Judge Dugan case, this real clash between branches of government. In Judge Dugan's case, between state government and federal government. Here in Congresswoman McIver's case, between the powers of Congress in their oversight capacity and the federal government executing law enforcement functions. Now, here's another odd similarity between the cases. One of Congresswoman McIver's lawyers, fascinating fact here, is the former U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey, a guy by the name of Paul Fishman. Again, former U.S. attorney. Do you guys remember me talking to you about the fact that Judge Dugan also has as part of her legal team the what? Oh, yes. The former U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Wisconsin, a gentleman by the name of Stephen Biskupic. So, again, some very, very fascinating parallels there. But I wanted to take a special note to let you all know that Mayor Baraka, the mayor of New Jersey, again, he was arrested at the protest itself 2 weeks ago. And again, the charges against him or the bases for his arrest dismissed. There's not going to be any criminal proceeding. Now, here is the rub on this case. The Department of Justice, U.S. Attorney Alina, I don't know to stand in a courtroom when a judge enters it. Haba, the, again, absolute best of the best that we could have possibly gotten to appoint as the new U.S. attorney for the District of New Jersey. She actually posted that they were dismissing the charges against Mayor Baraka on social media before they had filed anything or informed the judge overseeing the case that they were doing so. That is a big no-no. Now, Judge Espinoza, he is a former clerk to the Chief Justice. He worked as a U.S. attorney. This is a smart, smart judge, a very experienced lawyer, fairly conservative. So again, he was ticked off and took Alina Haba and the Department of Justice to task for basically the entirety of the case against Mayor Baraka. It is worthy of a read. We will be posting the links. There is not yet the transcript from that hearing. There are just media accounts of it. So we're going to post the links to a couple of those media accounts in our show chat for today because I think they're worthy of reading. I am going to wait to give you my analysis of what the judge said until the full transcript is available because you know me, everybody, I like to get things exactly, exactly right. So once that transcript drops, I know Congresswoman McIver's lawyers have requested the transcript. Once that drops, I will revisit that because again, Judge Andre Espinoza, he was not messing around, was very upset with the Department of Justice. Of course, that coming on the heels of a different U.S. District Court judge yesterday concluding that the Department of Justice had violated one of the court's orders. So, folks, we are tumbling deeper and deeper into some sort of version of a slow-moving constitutional crisis with every single passing day. Now, it is Free Ticket Friday. I did make some promises that I would drop the word to win for you to text via the Civic Media app. And here it is. For four tickets, club level tickets to the Tuesday, May 27th game against the Boston Red Sox at 6:40 p.m. Text in the word FAMILY. F-A-M-I-L-Y. For full contest rules, go to civicmedia.us. The word to win is family, as in we are family. You and me and everybody here at Civic Media, keep it locked. We'll be back on the other side of these brief messages. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. You remember when the U.S. government has lied to the American people? It happened a few times. Specifically, when the U.S. government has lied to the American people about matters of national security and intelligence issues. Conjures up images of Kent State during the Vietnam War. Certainly brings to mind weapons of mass destruction and the lies that were told during that period of time in our country's more recent history, as well as the lie that was told that, you know, Saddam Hussein was somehow associated with Al-Qaeda. He wasn't. It got us into wars, and Americans died because politicians lied about U.S. intelligence. They politicized U.S. security and national intelligence reporting, and they repeated those lies or made innuendos and allowed the general public to have a misapprehension about things. Well, the same thing is happening right now. And the Trump administration is engaging in those lies every day. Now, we've been talking about the unconstitutional violations of due process, the discussion of the abhorrent idea that a president without congressional approval could wave a magic wand and get rid of habeas corpus. But we got to those discussions because Donald Trump invoked the Alien Enemies Act to engage in these mass deportations, specifically, or at least allegedly focused on members of the gang Tren de Agua. And as you know, if you've been listening to the show and keeping up with these recent news events, courts have now, and the Supreme Court have permitted courts to prohibit the president from using the Alien Enemies Act to conduct any more deportations, because the Alien Enemies Act, which dates back to 1798, is supposed to only be used when you're actually being invaded by a foreign army or you're in a time of war. We're not in either. But you would be completely reasonable in asking, well, how in the hell did Donald Trump get to invoke it in the first place? Like, didn't he have to make some sort of argument about an invasion that has something to do with a foreign government? And of course, we all know, we look down Main Street, do we see foreign troops with uniforms from some other country's army marching down our streets or trying to take over? No, we don't. So what the hell was Donald Trump basing that action on in the first place? What argument did he make to even make that possible? Well, the argument that Donald Trump made is that Tren de Agua is actually controlled by the Venezuelan government. Now, that is a question of fact, right? Is Tren de Agua controlled by the Venezuelan government? If it is, maybe there is a colorable argument that he can invoke the Alien Enemies Act. But if it isn't, the entire factual predicate for the executive order to engaging these mass deportations based on his invocation of the Alien Enemies Act goes away. So the natural next question that every reasonable person of good faith would ask is, gee whiz, what do our intelligence communities have to say about the question of fact, whether or not Tren de Agua is in fact controlled by the Venezuelan government? Turns out our intelligence communities have analyzed that fact question and have uniformly concluded that Tren de Agua is not controlled by the Venezuelan government, that they're in fact basically in constant conflict, that there have been gun battles between federal troops, federal Venezuelan troops and gang members, that there's not any reasonable evidentiary basis to make that factual assertion at all. Now, that would significantly complicate the president's claims that he's making every day about all of this. So what do you do about it? Well, remember, the head of the Department of National Intelligence is Tulsi Gabbard. The director of national intelligence is Tulsi Gabbard. And so when this report saying there's no connection came up from the intelligence communities, what do you think they did about it? Well, the New York Times has reported this week that Ms. Gabbard's chief of staff told them to do some rewriting. Here is the email that has been reported by the New York Times. This is Tulsi Gabbard, the director of national intelligence, her chief of staff, to the intelligence communities after reviewing a draft of the report that concluded, no, there's no connection between Tren de Agua and the government of Venezuela. Quote, we need to do some rewriting and more analytic work. So, quote, this document is not used against the director of National Intelligence, or POTUS, the acronym for the President of the United States. This was written by Joe Kent, the Chief of Staff, to Tulsi Gabbard on April 3rd. And indeed, one of the reports was indeed revised, and the revised report was issued on April 7th. It still fundamentally contradicts Donald Trump's claim of the idea that Tren de Agua is controlled and directed by the Venezuelan government. But this, ladies and gentlemen, this is the interference of politicians in our nation's intelligence apparatus that places every armed service person, every National Guardsman and woman at risk places are very security at risk. This is unacceptable. You got to keep politics out of law enforcement and intelligence. Full stop. We're going to take care of some business here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'll be back with you on the other side. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Volunteers with Boy Scout Troop 306 in Louisville, Kentucky, helped cut down high grass at a cemetery. They were getting it ready for flags to be placed at gravestones today. Assistant Scoutmaster Kevin McCarron.
Planting flags is an important thing to do. And I think if you can't see the flag stones or the grave sites, then you're not really able to do that.
The Russian military has been unleashing a barrage of attacks on Ukraine. CBS's Haley Ott is at the foreign desk in London.
Hundreds of Russian missiles and drones were fired in what the Ukrainian Air Force says was the worst aerial attack on the country since Russia's full-scale invasion 3 years ago.
President Trump says he's delaying by about a month threatened 50% tariffs on the EU after a phone call with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
She asked for an extension on the June 1st date. And she said she wants to get down to serious negotiations.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
The crew returns home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers back home to host the Boston Red Sox this week in a three-game series. Yesterday, the Brewers came back to win 6-5 over the Pirates at PNC Park. But the highlight of the game was Pittsburgh slugger O'Neill Cruz, 6'7", 215 pounds, who hit a solo home run that left the park and landed in the Allegheny River on the Pirates Sportsnet channel.
Drive to right field. If it's fair, it's gone. And it is gone. There's a Cruz missile. Wow. That got out of here in no time. A bomb. 122.9 miles an hour.
The fastest since they've been keeping that record. Pat Murphy after the win.
The Pirates are playing as good a baseball as they've played all year. The one kid is a monster right now. I mean, really, literally, like take over the game type guy. Who does that? That's ridiculous.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, clear skies and low 40s. Mostly sunny with a high near 70 on your Memorial Day Monday. Monday night, mostly cloudy, 46. Slight chance of rain on Tuesday. We'll see a high near 66. And then rain is likely Tuesday night and Wednesday.
It's 51 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong, they tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Todd Alba will be here to break down all the news of the weekend. Kathy Giorgio, whose book has been banned in Waukesha, will join us. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Oh, thank God, it's time for some fun. Hello, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show on this Friday, pre-Memorial Day edition. And round about every Friday at this time, usually 5:30-ish, we do a little something that we like to call Ask Maggie, where listeners, that's all of you fine people, get to email in, call in, or text your questions for me. Now, the bit here is this. Hypothetically, I'm supposed to constrain my responses to questions, and I don't know what I'm going to get asked, to either 20, 30, or 60 seconds. Sometimes it's very doable. Other times I get complex economic questions and I can't quite get it in. And then I do my best to just wrap it up more expediently. So we beg of your forgiveness if I don't adhere to the rules, to the letter of the rule, but in the spirit of the segment, I try to keep it as short as I possibly can. Other days, I don't know, Jamie, we just digress.
You know, that's okay, though. Rules are boring and they were made to be broken sometimes. So it's totally fine. Like with that good intro, I think that we need to ask Cal to roll the official Ask Maggie intro. Ooh. Now so that we can get ready for this segment. So go ahead, Cal.
Jazzy. Love it.
Well, we do like to have a little fun here sometimes,
yes.
Right?
Yes, indeed.
When the GOP can behave themselves long enough to give us a little bit of a reprieve and to have a little fun, then we try to
not
do those things.
Yeah, not holding my breath, Jamie. It's been a long week.
It's still early in the day, right?
Yes.
Should we jump into this? Because
yes, I
think that's a good place to start, because I have my own Ask Maggie question for today. So, Cal, we're going to give her
producer privilege, right? Producer privilege.
I am, because this is an important one. And I think people need to know the complexities of the big, beautiful bill, including, is there an excise tax on tanning, or did they get away, like reduce that? Like, I have to know about this. I don't know how much you've dug into this, but Cal, let's give her 30 seconds to discuss excise taxes on tanning. And when you're ready.
Oh, my goodness. Well, if you have been watching some of the minutiae, Representative Teresa Fernandez went off yesterday, I believe, about the tax preferences for tanning beds over hospital beds. It was quite a moment. And she called out a fellow congressperson. Let's see, it would have been Representative Jason Smith, a Republican of Missouri, to actually read the line in the budget bill about the tanning beds. And Rep. Jason Smith would not do so. Oops-a-daisy! She legit asked him, quote, so that the American public knows what this bill does, would you please read page 901, line 20? Smith responded, I think it'd be better if you read it. So I don't know, is it surprising that the great tan man in the Oval Office wants tax privileges
tan,
for tanning
though.
Beds? No.
I mean, if that's a real tan, we have some major problems, because it varies in shades and it varies in complexity and thickness from day to day. And sometimes it sweats right off of him. So there's some major issues, but and we don't want to make light of the big, beautiful bill, as the GOP like to call it, but I feel like after the week we've had watching this whole process play out, we have to make light where we can, because there's some serious ramifications of it as well. But
here's the Wisconsin connect on this. A congressional representative did actually read that provision, and it was our very own, very fabulous Gwen Moore read the provision out loud, quote, section 11106, repeal of excise tax on indoor tanning services. I'm glad that we've got our priorities right.
Those are the priorities of life right there. I'm sure all of us were worried about how we were going to pay for the taxes on that tanning bed. That we have in our own homes, nonetheless. My gosh. All right. So now that we've got our real priorities of the world straight, let's get to some of the other questions. Okay. And we've got some good ones. Now, I want to get to this one because this one actually came into us on email a couple of weeks ago, and we've been trying to get to it ever since. And it turns out that it might be somebody you know. Austin from Denver emailed askmaggie@civicmedia.us.
Hey, Oz, it's good to hear from you, my friend, and everybody out in Colorado and the Denver area. Hope you're all doing well. What did Austin want to know?
Well, he says that you always talk about your little pancake smelling dog, Finny. And with the weather getting nicer, what are some of your favorite dog friendly weekend activities in general or just specific to the state of Wisconsin? I feel like you're going to need a little bit of time because I've met Miss Finny and she's quite the girl. So I feel like we're going to need like 60 seconds because I feel like Miss Finny gets around a little bit in the best possible way.
In the best sense of that expression.
That's right. So 60 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
Well, if you are new to the show, I am a giant tall lady. So I thought it would be, you know, a juxtaposition to get a little tiny dog. So my dog's name is Finny. She's a miniature dachshund. He weighs less than 14 pounds. She's adorable. And yes, she smells like pancakes, which is the best thing ever. Anyways, Finny will walk, 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 walk. If I'm walking, she's walking. She will walk forever. So I love going out on the Oak Leaf Trail, which is here in Milwaukee. Beautiful hiking and walking area. Now, here's the other thing. I have a little towny little bike with a basket in the front. Would it surprise anyone that I put Finny in the basket and tool around to get my errands done on the weekends? Pick up a couple of, you know, dried goods at the grocery store, or as Donald Trump would like to say, I pick up the grocery with my little dog in her basket. I would like to say, please do not conjure up Wicked Witch of the West images. It's not me stealing Toto. Finny's actually my dog. And if you see me out and about in the Milwaukee area, I got my little roadster bike. It's like teal green and Finny in the basket in front. She's caramel brown. Give us a hoot. Say hello. I just like hanging out with her. She's the kind of dog you can almost take her anywhere because she's so small.
Yes.
And she mostly just wants to like sniff around, say hi to everybody.
And give kisses.
And then she's like, okay, mom, let me just sit on your lap and I'll take a nap. Yes. So she's easy to take anywhere. So I'll do anything with Finny.
She's amazing. She's absolutely amazing and so adorable. And by the way, you said that Donald Trump calls it grocery because I'm pretty sure in his entire life, that's what he's bought. One grocery.
One item. The grocery.
Just one at the grocery. Yes, that's all we've got. All right. So this is a good one. And I got to get back over to my other tab here. This actually comes to us from Tara in Amory. And Tara wants to know, Maggie Dawn, what is the last song that you have on your playlist? The last song that you would have listened to? Because I know you love music. I know this
I
is a
do.
Good one. All right. So let's give her 30 seconds for this one, Cal, whenever you're ready.
I actually want to get this right. So I'm opening up my favorite music app, and it is Lake Street Dive, Hell is on the Way, or Help is on the Way, excuse me. And before that, Wild Night from Van Morrison. There is a little bit of the Kenny Wayne Shepherd Band. Some Susan Tedeschi, Aloe Black. That's what I got going on these days. I need some relaxing tunes. So that's what I've been jamming out to. And if you listen to the show, we've been working on pulling in some of the tunage that I like a lot. I really dig some Steely Dan, Paul Simon when I've got to relax. Chicago, that's a big, big, big hit. I'm going to see Bonnie Raitt this summer. I'll stop talking.
That should be good. No, that should be really good. And by the way, you said hell is on the way, and I feel like you got it right the first time. Like
probably
that was a Freudian slip.
Yes. I'm describing accurately.
I feel like you got it right the first time. I have to say, though, I saw Chicago in concert a few years ago. When I say a few, I think Max was not even born yet. So it's been a really long time.
So a handful. Yeah.
Yeah. 21 now. We actually saw them at a state fair. And I love Chicago, but it was the most boring show I'd ever been to. Because they got on stage and you know how sometimes artists will interact with the crowd. Chicago
they
was like,
no,
this is a stopover for us. We are not doing that tonight. Just keep playing. And so it was like literally putting their entire catalog just from start to finish. And that's what they did. They walked off the stage and they were done. I was like, oh, okay. I mean, it wasn't a horrible concert, but it was really boring. It was just really boring. No interaction with the audience at all.
Jamie, there are probably some people with some other substances that were very much enjoying themselves on a whole different plane listening to Chicago jam out at the state fair.
I'm a little bored. I mean, like, hello, can you at least say hi, acknowledge that we're here, sitting here looking at you? It is what it is, I guess.
Guess not.
How much time do we have left? I don't have a timer in front of
me. Three minutes.
All right. So we've got time for it. We're trying to stick with the really easy stuff as we ease ourselves into Memorial Day weekend. All right. So this is another good one. And this comes to us from, I got to get back over to my tab, Mike, who listens in the Rice Lake area. So thank you so much,
Mike,
for contacting us. This is a really good question as well. He needs a new book. And so Mike is wondering, what book do you suggest he read, Maggie Dawn? And I know you're also an avid reader. So I'm going to say that you might need like 60 seconds for this one, because I bet you have a good list of them. So, Cal, whenever you're ready, 60 seconds. What is a good book that we should be reading suggested by Maggie Dawn?
So I absolutely love the book Demon Copperhead. It is fabulous. I also read, you may be surprised to know, like anything that has to do with like spies and legal thrillers and espionage, like I am down for that. So Scott Turow came out with a newer book not too long ago. I gobbled that up. When it comes to nonfiction, I do read a lot of nonfiction. I think The Color of Law is an absolute must read. I think White Fragility is a must read. I have been pulling off my bookshelf again some bell hooks as Juneteenth Day is approaching in preparation for that. Bell hooks is a black feminist. She talks a lot about liberation, philosophy. So that gives you a little sampling. I'm actually right now, I am in between books because what happens is I get all obsessive about it. So I'll start a book and then I'm just, I
have to finish
like,
it.
Yes, I'm just consumed with reading, and friends and family will get ticked off at me because be like, oh, you want to go hang out? I'm like, no, I'm reading a book. I'm reading a couple of books. Got to finish a book. Yeah. My like happy spot on a weekend is the dog and me, preferably in a hammock in a beautiful city park with my book or books, just hanging out, watching the world go by while I read some pages. And I also tend to prefer hard copies. I have a Kindle. I do use it, especially when I'm traveling.
I like stuff in my hands. I'm old school.
I am a
sucker. I like to be able to mark pages.
Absolutely.
Sometimes you find that passage. You got to keep it, right? I can't do that.
All of my stuff is dog-eared. People come over, they're like, Maggie, you have a lot of books. Did you read all those? I was like, pick one off the shelf, flip through it. You will see like marginal notes.
Yeah. Yep. I know. Mine are the same way.
Yes.
Nobody ever borrows my books. That's a good way to keep people out of your personal library.
That's correct. I have it. Would it surprise you that I have a stamp from the library of Margaret Cena? I'm a dork. What can I say? Book nerd, data wonk, all these things. That's Jamie Martinson, my senior producer. She's going to be back with me on the other side. We're going to share with you some of the state's Memorial Day events next, right here on the Maggie Dawn Show.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Day one, the hardest day. The day you hear,
this is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. You're not caught in the crossfire. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I got my senior producer, Jamie, cruising on through the end of the show with me as we go off into the sunset on this Memorial Day weekend. And Jamie, we wanted to share with folks across the state some of the amazing Memorial Day events that may be happening in their neck of the woods. Why don't you get us started off? What's going on in the AUK region?
So you've got a lot of options, whether you're in Milwaukee, Oconomowoc, Waukesha, Elm Grove, the Delafield area. There's just a whole bunch going on. So please check your local calendars because we can't get to all of them. We don't have time, but there's some really great stuff happening. If you're in Milwaukee, there's a remembrance at Wood National Cemetery. That's going to be on the Milwaukee VA campus near the flagpole and memorial area. That's Monday morning at 9:25.
That's right by AmFam Field. Yep.
If you're in Waukesha, there's going to be remembrance activities at a river ceremony with the Avenue of Flags. That's along the main road through the Prairie Home Cemetery. That's going to be going from like early in the morning, 8 a.m. till about 2 in the afternoon. There's going to be a riverside ceremony at Veterans Park at 9 a.m. and then a Memorial Day service at Cutler Park at 10 a.m. If you're in Menominee Falls, they're having this huge Falls Memorial Fest all weekend long. So So the festival is actually going to run Saturday from 8 a.m. until 11 p.m. in downtown Menominee Falls. And then there's a veterans concert Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. at Village Park. And then there's going to be a Memorial Day parade Monday at 10 a.m. So that's like the place to kind of be this weekend, right?
Hey, you got it going.
Right. West Bend has a Memorial Day parade Monday at 9:30. As we look into the northern region of our WGBW area in Green Bay, a couple places are going to have things happening on Monday. There's a Memorial Day observance at Heritage Hill State Historical Park from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. If you're in the Fond du Lac area listening on WISS in Oshkosh or WISS in Appleton, there's going to be a Memorial Day parade and ceremony at Veterans Park Monday at 10 a.m. If you're in the Manitowoc area, there is a Memorial Day parade and ceremony in downtown Manitowoc on Monday at 9 a.m. And we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the fine folks at WXCO in Wausau. They're having a Memorial Day remembrance program at Restlawn Memorial Park Monday morning at 11 a.m. And then if you listen in Wisconsin Rapids on WFHR, whole bunch going on in Wisconsin Rapids, also in Amherst, Marshfield, and Neillsville. We'll mention Wisconsin Rapids. There's going to be a dedication of four legacy stones, color guard, rifle salute, and taps at the Wood County Veterans Memorial. That is actually that actually took place this afternoon at 1 o'clock. So let me tell you about something that you can go to and did not miss.
There you go.
Amherst. There's going to be a Memorial Day program at the Amherst High School Live Radio, folks. It happens. That's going to be at the gym, followed by a solemn procession Monday morning starting at 9 a.m. So you are guaranteed not to miss that one. And then a whole bunch happening in the Hayward, Amory area as well. And then, of course, over in Eau Claire, if you listen on 93.5 The Tap, there's going to be a Memorial Day parade at Wilson Park Monday morning at 9:30. And then Richland Center on WRCE also has a parade Monday morning at 10 a.m. and then a ceremony at the Richland Center Cemetery at 10:45. So really, again, check your local areas, check your local calendars, check those local Facebook groups, whatever, because there is a lot if you do want to join any sort of those remembrance ceremonies throughout the weekend, because a lot of them are happening throughout the entire weekend. So
I did want to give some special love to Stalas right here in southeastern Wisconsin, because they have a flyover, which I think is super cool, by the Commemorative Air Force Wisconsin Wing, including a presentation of colors by West Dallas PD Color Guard and music from Nathan Hale Chamber Choir at Veterans Memorial Park on Monday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. I'm probably going to try to scooch over there and check it out. I love a good flyover. Now, in the WMDX area, in the Madisonian area, what do we have going on?
So I'm actually excited about this one, because in Monona, there's going to be a Memorial Day parade down Monona Drive at 10 a.m. And I'm very excited because I don't have to do much work. It's actually going to go right down our road. I get to walk out onto my balcony and just watch it. No work involved.
Jamie, this reminds me, when I lived, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I lived in New York for a number of years, and I was fortunate enough to live on Columbus Circle, which is the northwest corner of Central Park. And so what was amazing is that the Macy's Day Thanksgiving Parade would roll by my building, and the New York City Marathon, also the route went right by that right before they went into Central Park. So there was usually a couple of friends that would come over. There might have been some Bloody Marys, some mimosas kind of a thing, hanging out, maybe some latkes, couple of pancakes, especially with the marathon. We take a look. Oh, look at all those wonderful athletes running by. Who would like another drink? Like, you know, ring our cowbell out the window. Woohoo. And then
they're
go get another drink.
They're good at that running. Here, let's drink some more.
And the best part of the New York City marathons were they would set up the race course, you know, like the week ahead of time. So when I would jog far fewer miles, I would be able to jog part of the New York City Marathon course in Central Park, including the end shoot. So, you know, like, ooh, it makes you feel like a winner. But, you know, at probably like 3 to 4 miles instead of the brutal 26.2. I'm not designed for long distance running. That's not my
thing. I ran a 0.1 marathon one day. That's a block. I'm good. I walk a lot. I walk a lot. Not a runner anymore.
Better for your joints, that walking.
That's right.
Well, listen, folks, we hope you get to walk to a wonderful commemorative Memorial Day weekend. Walk through that with safety and with, again, some reverence for those who have given our nation their highest sacrifices. We're going to have a special Memorial Day show for you on Monday, so do not miss it. Pack with veteran-based content. I'm Maggie Dawn. That is my senior producer, Jamie. Thank you, everybody, for hanging out with us this Friday afternoon. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me, but it is always better when we stand together in reverence and memorialization for those that have served and given our country the highest sacrifice. Take care, y'all.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. On this Memorial Day weekend, a Vietnam veteran is doing his part to remind us what the holiday is about. The story from WECP-TV reporter J.T. Lynch in Bay County, Florida.
James Leeson, whose friends call him Jim, is now in his 80s. But at one point, he was a 19-year-old on his way to Vietnam.
I was fortunate in a way that I went to Vietnam with a group of guys. We trained together in Hawaii and then went to Vietnam. Together.
Over the course of his time in Vietnam, Leeson would lose 22 of his friends. What started 15 years ago with just a pair of boots, a gun, and a helmet has grown into a strong reminder of those lost.
And those crosses out front have the names of those 22 guys on it.
President Trump says during a phone conversation with European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, he